Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
This is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Taylor Glenn, and I'm a writer and comedian. I'm joined by screenwriter Hannah George.
Hello.
As well as author and comedian Katie Wilkins.
Hello.
This is where beer meets breaking and entering, Prosecco meets perjury, and vodka meets vandalism. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime. So I answer the call and I'm like, hello. And I just hear, drunk women?
There were women, so when were women allowed to exist?
And he's like, he's claimed to have invented blackmail. I'm king of blackmail, that's what they call me.
Everyone in a hat would be dead.
And you can see the Drunk Women live on Thursday, the 1st of November, 2018, at the Pleasance Theatre in London. They'll be there with some very special guests, so come along for a gin or two. But right now, their guest is the brilliant Helen Monks.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
And hello, everyone, and welcome. I'm so...
Good start.
I am so excited to introduce our guest for this episode is the fantastic Helen Monks.
Yay! Oh, guys, thank you.
You are welcome. Helen is an actress, comedian, and writer known for her roles in Raised by Wolves, Upstart Crow, and Holby City, amongst others. Thank you so much for being
thanks
here and
so
joining
much
the
for
Drunk
having
Women.
Me, and thanks for my grapefruit beer.
Oh, you're welcome.
Delicious.
She snagged the one grapefruit beer that we Ooh. Had from Siren Craft Brew. Thank you very much to you for sending not only beers, but strong
oh, yeah.
beers. I'm having trouble already. This is so But they sent us these gorgeous glasses with their artwork on it, and they're so fancy I was afraid to use them. So we haven't even brought them in. But the grapefruit is going down well. That's yeah. good. That's good. And Katie, Hannah, how are you guys doing?
Pretty good. I've got Yulu, and I may well not be pronouncing that correctly.
I can oh, I think
spell
you are.
It for you. That won't help.
You don't spell the beer, you drink it.
Yeah, I do.
That was nicked from 16 Candles, just to give credit where credit was due. And Hannah, how are you?
Yes, I'm very well, thank you. Tell us about when these beers were delivered to you. What was that you haven't told us
yet? Oh, my goodness. Yes, thank you. This was my favorite moment of making this podcast so far, and that is saying a lot. So Hannah has the beer company. You know, it was delivered to my house, so the bell rings, and I answer it. Yes, I have an answer phone. I know. It's a privilege. I'm aware of it, though. So I answer the call, and I'm like, hello? And I just hear, as a question, drunk women? And I pause, because I was like, did he really just... Oh, and I was like, yep, that's us. And I just so hope that
stumbled
all my neighbors...
Stumbled to the door. Yeah.
Well, this was the kicker, as I was wearing a short dress, but over pajama bottoms. Anyway, Helen, I was wondering if you could kick us off. Have you ever been the victim of a crime?
Oh, yeah, many. Oh, it was hard to pick where to start. I'm a bit of a... I don't want to say I've got a victim complex, but I'm often very picked on for those sort of phone scams and things like that. Okay. But the sort of most traumatic crime that I experienced was when I was on holiday in Sardinia with my family when I was about 13, and we were driving back to the airport, and we stopped at the beach, and we went to the beach all in our swimwear, and when we got back to the car, everything had been taken. Oh. Literally everything, our passports, our flight tickets home. Oh, but also no. All of our clothes. Apart from my mum's snake skin jacket, which she was really, really offended didn't get taken. I was so pleased though, because I've been for about 2 years trying to persuade her to stop wearing it, and finally it worked. So we think it was Sardinian bandits. That's what we think. And then my mum, because she is amazing, managed to blag us to get onto the flight without any passports or boarding tickets.
All in
tickets.
Your swimming costumes.
Yeah, all in our swimming costumes.
With her snake skin jacket over a bikini. Let me on this plane.
She's very northern. Let me on this. That's why they were like, oh, I'm so sorry.
Snake skin jacket on a plane.
Oh, very good. Very good. It was funny though. So I was a very insecure teenager. So I did have all of my clothes with me, because I sort of waded into the sea in like a full jeans and t-shirt. Like, wow. Nobody look at my body. But my brother was wearing shorts. No top, no trousers or anything, and he had to walk through airport security just in his swimming trunks.
How old was he?
He was 15.
Wow.
Yeah. He was also a goth at the time, so
everyone's aghast, and I'm like, hey.
He was absolutely loving it. But also everyone in airport security was like, where are all of your clothes? And then we turned into the sort of main airport bit, and there was this shop there called...
You all had shoes? See, I want to get down to the, like, so are you in flip-flops or what's going on?
So I'm fine. My mum has got clothes. It's my dad and my brother, really. My dad's in his swimming trunks as well, but he has a white t-shirt which he took with him, but he's wearing very, very posh, very English posh shoes and socks. So he's in like these tiny little short shorts and posh shoes and shoes and socks. I think my brother was barefoot because, yes, this is it, he was going through his goth phase, so his only shoes on holiday were New Rock. Do you know those massive, massive boots?
Wait, with the big heels.
So I was really chuffed, because I just had this image of the people who stole our luggage. They would have opened his suitcase, and the only thing that could fit in his suitcase were his massive New Rocks. But the really, really tragic thing was that I realised once we got to the airport, and I think this is possibly why they let us on the flight, because I was the most inconsolable I've ever been in my life. I realised that in my suitcase were all of my childhood teddy bears. I know.
Fun's over, guys.
Sorry.
No,
I realised this was...
I know. Oh, honestly. But the really good news is my friends all clubbed together, and they bought me from the bear, what's it called?
Build-A-Bear.
Yes. They bought me a new monkey called Nana, who I still have to this very day.
Oh, my God. Did they dress it as a bandit?
As a Sardinian bandit. No, that would have been too, like, traumatic. Yeah, so it's all okay.
I'm telling you, Build-A-Bear, rebuild a life.
They should sponsor this show.
Could you imagine? Build your own favourite serial killer.
Amazing. Oh, my God, that is so sad.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I'm all right now, though. Do you know what was great about it, though? So we'd only gone for the weekend.
Oh,
and it was during term. All my homework was in my luggage. So my parents had to...
The robbers took your homework.
They took my homework. Yeah, exactly.
But not the snakeskin jacket.
But not this, because it was...
Yeah, we might entertain ourselves with some maths problems, but this thing... Bargain bin trash. That's how Sardinians talk.
You clearly been. You know that well.
Is, you know, it's good to laugh at it now. But wow, that is traumatic. That is insane.
Yeah, yeah, that's so huge.
I've never been able to go back to Sardinia. That's my aim. Like,
just in case you see some guy in these massive
withholding my teddy bears. And wearing, oh no, he wouldn't be wearing the snakeskin jacket. He has a sense to
He's a mathematician now.
See, now I'm picturing him like building himself up as the leader, and they call him Teddy Goth, and like it's this whole
backstory.
So, Helen, if these bandits, I've never really said the word bandits in earnest, so thank you. If these bandits were in the room, what would you say to them? And you can speak in your native tongue if you want, because they've.
Oh they've God, learned. It's so hard because. What would I say to them? I'd want to know what happened to my teddy bears. I think that would be my number one.
Need answers.
I need answers because what the police said, they said it happens all the time at that beach, and what they do is they take anything valuable and then they throw everything else at the side of the road. So then we drove around for a long time.
And did you find anything?
No, we didn't find anything. And also we had to get to the airport for the flight. So, and then on the way to the airport, we hit a giant tortoise in the road. It was honestly the worst holiday of my life. So I'd probably say to them...
this gets darker and darker.
Honestly, it was awful. So what happened? We were driving down this very fast motorway and we saw this tortoise very slowly start to cross.
No.
What my dad did, like just knee-jerk reaction, was he tried to go over it, like so it went out over the middle of the car.
But what actually ended up happening was
it went straight into its shell and he got stuck to the front of the car, and then we were driving down the motorway with this massive tortoise stuck to the front of the car.
That is so Mad Max Fury Road. That's kind of amazing.
Yeah, so I'd say to the Sardinian bandits, be kind to animals, both stuffed and, you know, roadside. And look out for each other, guys. Stop robbing people. But also, I do see the temptation where they were this car full of stuff, clearly, you know.
Yeah, on the way to the airport.
Yeah.
What, did they ever catch them? Did the police have any leads?
I don't think so. And also, I don't think we ever really... You know, report. Well, we went to the police station, but we didn't then follow it up to be hey guys, have you found the bandits?
You're one of like 100 tourists that day.
If we ever do drunk women on tour, we're going to go back and we're going to find them.
Oh, God. Yeah.
That's our promise to you.
Thanks, guys.
Will grow our own tortoise.
Oh, no. My parents actually now, I've only just made this connection in my head. They have a pet tortoise called Cat. He's staying with me at the moment because I'm on holiday, not in Sardinia, but I've just made a decision in my head. Maybe that's why they sort of felt like they had to give something back.
Has anyone in your family gone back to Sardinia?
No.
Trauma.
To be fair, there are a lot of places in the world. I think that's
true.
Just coincidence.
Yeah. I like to think that there was a lonely girl who didn't have much. She'd never had toys, never really known love. She saw your teddy bears on the side of the road and picked each and every one up, and I like to think that she's grown up to be a successful woman because she connected with your beloved teddies.
And also maybe found my homework and it educated her.
And maybe she educated herself.
Yeah. That's a great story.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say she'd robbed us. I thought it was a tiny little girl.
No. I just want to put a little bit of sugar on that wound.
That's definitely the happy ending that definitely happened.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I feel recovered and rejuvenated. Good. Thank you.
Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
Cheers.
Cheers! Cheers, everybody!
It is time to move on to our true crime. Are we ready to solve some crimes, drunk women?
Woo woo!
Here's to good crime solving. Our story, guys, involves a kidnapping, nationwide panic about consumer products, and a dead chief of police.
Whoa.
I know, this is a heavy one. So, the series of crimes that we are to unravel begin at 9 p.m. when two masked intruders wearing caps and armed with a pistol and a rifle break into the home of the president of a large company called Glico, and they kidnap him.
What?
Before entering the house, the two intruders had first forced their way into the neighboring home of the president's mother, bound her, and took the key to the president's house, so they let themselves in.
And so they knew what they were doing.
I thought they'd just gone into the wrong house.
Yeah, I thought it was just going to be our broken bunch of chances.
Oh, sorry, next door is what we meant.
What a farce.
This is why you never give your mum your spare key.
Yes. There is a lesson here.
That is the lesson.
Sorry, Mum, can't do it.
So these two intruders force their way into the house, but not forced because it was with a key. So they first find the president of the company's wife and daughter, and they tie them up. No. They plead with the intruders and offer money, but they proceed. They cut the telephone lines. They storm the bathroom where this president guy and his other two children are hiding, and the intruders tell him that they will kill him if he screams for help. And then they proceed to abduct him, and they hold him in a warehouse. Oh. I know, we're off to a cheery start.
Wow.
So first question, with not too much information, I realize, what time period do you think we're talking about based on the info I've given?
Okay, so they've got telephones. Yeah.
Ooh, hello.
Telephone, there you go. And what else do we know? There were women, so when were women allowed to exist?
That means it's got to be in the last 2 weeks.
Yep.
Should we get a guess?
Glico sounds like a modern-ish company. Mm-hmm.
And what is he, president, did you say?
President of a large company called Glico.
But he does live next door to his mum.
Yeah. Which suggests that's a small town, kind of like an old-timey kind of vibe. Mm. And they've got keys. They don't seem to have electric locks or panic rooms or anything.
I think loads of people have keys, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe either of them.
But like in a kind of...
If they're in like Valakan... What's it called? Valakan City? Is that the word? Valakan City?
Silicon Valley.
Silicon Valley. The beer's gone to my head.
Oh my God, the laptops that the Pope would make. Those would be amazing. So I'm going to ask you for a guess. Just your best
1951.
Guess.
1951.
Okay, Hannah's going with 1951. Helen?
When was the telephone invented? Is it?
Alexander Graham Bell.
But like, didn't Queen Victoria 18, like use the telephone, didn't she?
Something. Okay, I'm going to go for 1930.
Okay.
Seven.
Okay, always add the seven, like it.
I'll hear those guesses and I will raise you 1974. Let's go wild.
Oh, Katie, you are the closest. Ooh. This is one of the more modern crimes that we have tackled. It was 1984.
Wow. Yeah. Modern.
I know, Orwell bitches.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's springtime. That's nothing to do with the case, but you know, I don't know, cherry blossoms.
Good fact,
yeah. And all of that. So next question, the intruders, were they men? Were they women?
Men.
Yeah, it's got to be, hasn't it, really?
They're tying up all the women.
Yeah.
That's such a man thing to do.
I'm going to go women just to be different.
Nice. They were both men. They were both men. Also, I mentioned that it was the president of a large company called Glico. Does anyone want to wager a guess? Do you have a feel about what country we're in with this crime?
I assumed America.
Because they're like Glee Club.
Just because everything's quite America orientated and my brain goes like,
yeah, do you know what?
I can see that. Guns, intrusion, large company.
Dotted that too. But now that you've asked the question, I'm going to go Russia because I know they have loads of Ezra. Yeah, Russia's really
They've
cool.
They've got businesses there.
Interesting
businesses
guess.
Businesses in Russia and there's loads of like guns and stuff.
Yeah, good guess there, Katie. Detective George.
Okay, I think it might be somewhere like Australia.
Okay.
Glico. Oh, that works, doesn't it? That feels nice.
Okay, and there's also a chance that I'm saying the company name wrong. I dropped in a little clue there that you probably didn't hear. Wow. I said it was springtime, and I said, you know, the cherry blossom.
Japan
is correct. So the president of Glico, his name was Katsuhisa Izaki. The next morning, the intruders demand ransom for 1 billion yen, which equates to about $4.2 million at the time. I'm sorry for reverting to my home currency, but sometimes I miss it. And they also demanded 100 kilos. See, I went back to the UK. In gold bullion. So my question is, what is gold bullion? Because I had never heard it.
Gold
bullion.
Yeah. I feel like this is what they base Die Hard on.
What are those big square things made out of gold called?
Ding, ding, ding.
Oh,
well done.
Legend.
Oh, I never. Like the bars.
They are the bars of gold.
Yes.
3 days later,
Zaki manages to escape from the warehouse, but apparently they disguise themselves well enough that he couldn't really ID them. I guess they were wearing very good caps. But their harassment continues at the Glico company. Somebody lights several cars on fire in the parking lot, and then the letters begin.
Ooh.
So my question is, what does Glico make?
Okay.
This
is the 80s.
It's the 80s. We're in Japan. They're a huge company.
I want to say, just because I'm hungry, that it's something food orientated.
Oh, yeah. Detective Monks.
Oh, I never win anything. What's happening? Okay, we'll go for some form of vegetable.
Oh.
I've ruined it.
Huge biscuit. Japanese dish. Yes, that's more along the lines. Well done. My clue was going to be the three products that they are best known for are Pocky, Kapliko Stick, and Pretz. Possible future sponsors of ours, maybe. Yeah, snacks.
We love
Oh, this beer. Snacks and confectionery. So the company begins getting letters threatening the company, and they are signed off by a person or persons calling themselves the monster with 21 faces. This is a very well-known case. Do any of us know it by any chance?
No. I don't know anything.
Okay, it's got cool to be name.
A disgruntled ex-employee. Or the Yakisuba, what are they called? The Yakuza, they're like the mafia in Japan.
Right.
Oh. What
right.
are they called? The Yaki.
I don't know. I know a huge amount about the monster with 22 faces. So that's a shame.
I knew you did, and I didn't mean to say
that. I did my PhD on that.
So the name is derived, it's a villain that is in a series of detective novels. Oh my God, this is difficult.
So the criminal
and now I have to say Japanese
book?
Names without like fucking them up. A little
wait,
bit tipsy.
Wait.
Yes,
is the
yes.
book based on this crime?
No,
or
no,
the
no.
Criminals
no. The criminals have taken the villain's okay. name. So the monster with 21 faces, if that's your real name, they tell Glico that they've done something which causes a $21 million loss to the company and nationwide panic. What do you think they claim to have done?
Poison the food.
Ah, bam. Well done.
So he was in a warehouse for 3 days.
And somehow escaped.
And escaped, and now he's just back at work. Like,
see, I'm not sure if he returned to work or not. Okay. I'm assuming not.
He could be signed off with stress.
Yeah.
I hope so.
That's very big in Japan. They're like, oh, take some time off. It's fine.
Not a question of honor.
So he poisoned the food.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
They threatened, or they claimed that they had poisoned the candy, in particular the sweets. They said that they had poisoned it with potassium cyanide soda. So Glico has to pull the products, and they are so huge that cost them millions.
It's
and
a
it
bit
takes.
Like I used to do that with my brothers. I'll be like, if they're about to eat a Kit Kat, I'll be like, well, I'll lick that. I'll lick it. Even if I hadn't, like, they don't know if I have or not. So.
And was your intention of doing that so then you could eat the Kit Kat?
100%.
So then what? So what is that what they're doing with this? They're pretending to poison the sweets so that they get all the sweets.
God, they are.
Yeah, motive in this case.
That unfortunately has come up a few times in this. They're all like, all of these things. Like, why would they have done that? And I'm like, well, I can relate on several levels to this.
That's good. You know how to unearth, like, the motive.
Yeah, you can get inside their heads.
Yeah.
They're 21 heads.
Yeah. Potassium cyanide is the tongue of poison. So they have to pull all these things. I had to put in a fun, nerdy fact because I wanted to find out more about potassium cyanide. So it's a colorless crystalline salt, and it's similar in appearance to sugar. Ooh. So that's pretty clever. It's highly soluble in water, and this is interesting. It's used in gold mining and jewelry buffing, but it smells like bitter almonds. And the ability to smell the almond smell is a genetic trait. So, okay, the monster with 21 faces threatens to place the tampered products in stores. And following these threats, a man wearing a baseball cap was caught placing Glico chocolate on a store shelf by a security camera. So the camera photo was made public after the incident, but police could not identify him and they had no leads. Meanwhile, the monster starts taunting the police with letters.
Ooh.
I would like to read the beginning of one of the letters.
Yes, please.
Ooh,
please
do. Yikes. Sorry. Dear dumb police officer.
I think little Hannah George wrote this. This is like, do I do this crime? I was like a 10-year-old and I forgot.
When you said you used to lick the Kit Kat, I'm like, oh, she's going to love this. I don't know if this is just like lost in translation and maybe it's like sounded a little bit more sophisticated, yeah. But that is the best. Yeah. No, really is. Dear dumb police officers, don't tell a lie. All crimes begin with a lie, as we say in Japan. Don't you know that? They're so sassy. Like, all of their letters remind me of like me in eighth grade. Like we would write letters to teachers that we never sent. Be like, Mr. Zellifro, you smell and your pants are from like 1974. Love the two-faced bitches. Like never smell. So sassy. Another taunting letter was sent to the police station in another town. Why don't you keep it to yourself? You seem to be at a loss. So why not let us help you? We'll give you a clue. We entered the factory by the front gate. The typewriter we use is called a pan writer, and the plastic container used was a piece of street garbage. Monster with 21 faces.
Wow. Oh my god, were the criminals 10 years old?
Also, they ask a lot of questions in their letter, like they're hoping for some kind of reply.
Yeah, they want
what are you thinking?
Yeah,
that's it, they're lonely.
There's some poor admin person like, dear monster with 21 faces. I'll answer your questions and then please stop doing this.
Number one.
Oh my goodness.
That's mad that they walked in through the front of the factory.
Yeah. If indeed they did.
Yeah, they're just fucking with these dumb police. Ooh,
police are dumb.
Dear dumb police officers. T-shirt waiting to happen. So suddenly they stop harassing Glico. They send a letter that says, we forgive Glico. For what? We don't even know.
Ooh,
I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah. That's good of them, isn't it?
Oh, maybe someone's gone.
No, just got really into the art of letter writing.
Someone's got to them. Someone's hired a mafia on the side to hunt them down because the police weren't doing it. And now they've been threatened by someone else. And now that's why this. I'm just...
Oh my god.
I'm hypothesizing.
Well, you have to think something. I was thinking, well, the president like, must have paid them off. And maybe the deal was like, don't reveal our identity, but give us...
Yeah.
Who knows?
They negotiated with terrorists.
So they leave Glico alone, but then they turn its extortion campaign onto three other companies. They're all food companies. Mm. We don't know why, but they keep wreaking havoc. And this time, food products are actually found to be poisoned.
Wow.
So this time there's proof. There's a huge panic, obviously. Now, the police at one point do get close to the suspected mastermind of candy terrorism, as I like to call it. So they bait the monster with 21 faces by getting them to agree to stop harassing this particular company in exchange for 50 million yen, which is about 210,000 US dollars. And they arrange for an employee of the company to toss the ransom money into a local train heading toward Kyoto. I'm not even joking. Like, it's so great.
That is
so
awesome.
Bond.
So cool.
Where an Acme thing will be waiting to land on them.
Yeah, yeah. So the deal was like there will be a white flag displayed where the ransom money has to be thrown. So an investigator who's disguised as an employee follows the drop instructions. And while they're doing this, they spot a suspicious man observing him riding a train. And now the description of what happened goes on for days. So I won't read it. But what's so funny is it's just this... really slow cat and mouse chase. They end up on the same train and then they disembark at the same station and they're just kind of eyeing each other up and then he gets on a different train and then he just loses him.
At some point, and the guy's wearing sunglasses. He was described as large, well-built, wearing sunglasses with his hair cut short. His hair cut short and permed. It is 1984, though. With eyes like those of a fox.
But he's got sunglasses. How do they know his eyes? Also, is there security footage?
Also, I knew that he was a fatty. That's it, isn't it? Is he? He's angry at the
of course
company for being so addictive and delicious.
Yeah. And because they didn't poison the food, like you're saying, they didn't poison them, so it would just be like, oh, I'll have to have that.
Yeah,
now.
Oops, off the shelf for me.
Where do they go? Like when they pull it, they must just chuck it in a warehouse, and I bet that guy went right through the front door.
Yeah.
What was that about his eyes being like that of a fox?
Yeah, that's
he became known as the fox-eyed man. The fox-eyed man. But what?
That sounds like a gastropub just outside Islington.
I would go there.
Sounds delicious.
So all this is going on for a few months.
Yeah.
The police superintendent winds up dead. If you had been trying to crack a crime that is panicking your nation
suicide
for a long time, there you go.
Fuck.
Yeah. So 5 days after this event, which is August 12th, the monster with 21 faces sends its final message to the media.
Wow.
Which I think could have been a little bit more diplomatic given the circumstances, but this was their sort of like, okay, we're done. This, sorry, we didn't mean to take it this far.
Wow.
Again, maybe it's translation. Yamamoto of Shiga Prefecture Police died. How stupid of him. I know.
Insensitive.
Oh, I was really liking this man up to this point, and now I'm cross.
Yeah. You were team monster.
Yeah, I thought, oh, it's all a bit of japes.
So they said it's Yoshino or Shikata, who are two other police officers, who should have died. What have they been doing for as long as 1 year and 5 months? Don't let bad guys like us get away with it.
What?
Oh, I mean, that's just putting the knife in, twisting it. We decided to forget about torturing food-making companies. If anyone blackmails any of the food-making companies, it's not us, but someone copying us. We are bad guys. There is no more of an 8-year-old's.
We're the baddies.
So convinced. I'll tell you in a minute. We are bad guys. That means we've got more to do than bullying companies. It's fun to lead a bad man's life. Monster with 21 faces.
What the hell?
After this letter, the monster with 21 faces was never heard from again.
He's just basically just said, oh, I'm a very bad boy. And he's gone back into it. And it's like he's claimed to have invented blackmail.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's like, we did it first. If anyone did it, they copy me. I'm king of blackmail. That's what they call me.
So, interesting fact about this case. The statute of limitation for the kidnapping of Katsuhisa Izaki, the president of Glico, ran out in June 1995. And the statute of limitation for the attempted poisonings ran out in February 2000. No suspect was ever caught or convicted of the crimes. And the identity of the monster with 21 faces remains a mystery. However, police did have one more encounter with the fox-eyed man. He apparently attempted a robbery of yet another food company, and yet another cat and mouse chase ensued. The police followed him. Again, the guy was in a disguise of a hat. It's always just like, like if you want to blend in Japan, just like put a fucking hat on. Oh, these hats. And he got away in a stolen station wagon, which I don't know why I didn't think they'd have station wagons in Japan.
What's
but
a
I just
station
like,
wagon?
Oh my gosh, how do you, oh, like a...
Like a people carrier, Jeep. Is it? Is it like a people carrier station?
Yeah, like a big
like a thing that a family
car,
would
truck. Such an 80s car. Okay, have you ever seen National Lampoon's Vacation?
No.
Well, you need to. There's a station wagon in there. It's just a super, yeah, it's a super American, like really nerdy. Well,
I think you know, like a Volvo in this country is maybe the equivalent. Yeah. You know, like big Volvo estates that sort
of. Yeah, but
like,
Volvos are so like cool. These were like wood paneled, like I got like, my family and I'm taking them cross country. It's just a funny old vehicle.
Also, your sponsor.
We'd like to thank our sponsor, Station Wagon. So it was stolen and they found it abandoned, but again it's like, how did you lose the guy? And I think as an American, like in a way I appreciate their restraint, like Japanese police are armed, But in the US, like, this guy would be dead. They'd be like, I saw him in the police station and I shot him. You know, like, it's just so, like, well, we'll follow at a reasonable speed.
Everyone in a hat would be dead in
America. Also, I have such an image. I've got a hat that is also a flamingo. So my image is of him, like, in a flamingo hat.
What did they do, like, profiles of disgruntled staff that the first company that then, like, you know, knew where exactly. the president was
because that's where your
be.
Head goes, right? Like, there's somebody who's been wronged by one of these companies.
There's
got to
be a profile of suspects. Yeah. Who were even the yeah. were people on a watch list?
I'm left with more questions than I can answer. And then I was interested, I think, because I'm reading this and I'm like, these little chases that end in nothing. So I was like, are Japanese police even armed? Because I wasn't sure. And then it turns out that, and you go back to like the American occupation of Japan, and they armed police officers and they would suit them up like Americans. So they right. give them guns, but they've never felt the need to upgrade their firearms. Right. And it's so rare for an individual to own a firearm in Japan.
Yeah.
That they rarely use it and they rely more on martial arts. But then I was like, well, why didn't you kick the Foxide Man?
Yeah.
But I guess because they don't have reasonable cause. You know, everything was really followed by the book.
Yeah.
And again, it's 1984, so it's this era of there just isn't. I don't think there was many security cameras
no.
at the time. But who knows? Maybe there's conspiracy in here. We just don't know.
Wow. But, I do like the fact he's like sent the letter at the end to go like, I'm not going to do it anymore, guys. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. I mean, he didn't say sorry.
It's like an adolescent apology. Like, I didn't do anything, but anyway, I'm not doing it anymore. Like,
but yeah. also in that letter, he says we, and I don't know, the fact that it's 21 faces implies that there's more than one of them. Mm-hmm.
And it, you feel like they'd have to be more than one to pull something like that off.
Yeah. Well, you have two people who have done a kidnapping. Yeah. Whether they're the same people or people just took that opportunity to pretend it was them. We know that there were two men involved in that who obviously were skilled enough to pull that off. Yeah, I can't help but think that behind all of this, except for the kidnapping, there's just a 10-year-old boy with type 2 diabetes who
That's
just
it.
Like had too many pockies and just went crazy and had a typewriter. Yeah.
Was there anything, did they get any compensation, the family? Because my instinct always is to go, it was the big businessman.
Oh, that inside job.
Yeah. Tied up his own wife. And you know.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Did they get any compensation for it?
I
walked
not
in the
know.
Front door because it was me and I own the company.
Yeah. How did they know she had a key? How did they know, Stanley?
You know, if your product is tainted, even if it isn't your fault, I can't imagine that you're insured against that, but I have no idea. I have my own anus library, Katie, and it has facts, fun facts like that. I found this so interesting, just to round it off, just about this statute of limitation thing, because having read some other crimes that have happened in Japan, it just seems like they had a short statute of limitations on a lot of crimes, and indeed, they have some of the shortest in the world, and in fact, they used to have a statute of limitations on homicide.
Wow.
So a time period could pass that if you had killed somebody, and that was only lifted in 2010.
How long would it be that you'd have to wait?
That you'd have to wait? So they just have to Japan.
It was me.
I know. Well, I remember. I can't remember. I do remember coming across a case that it was like 30, 40 years or something like that.
Right.
Again, that's from the anus library. You'll have
to
look into it.
It makes sense why there's pressure on the police as well, why he felt so much personal pressure, because if you've got a time limit on you to solve something.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, that is
stressful.
And it's
so big. And I've read this thing that in Japan, it's just, like, they have lower crime compared to other countries of a similar type. But when people do break the law, they just go all out, because there's no kind of redemption back into society. So if people tend to die in a blaze of glory.
Wow.
Once they've broken the code, they are that's
more extreme crimes.
Yeah, once they do it, it's really extreme.
Wow.
Because there's way less, the honor is broken.
So I was curious about whether this has ever been made into anything, and there are a lot of books about it. It's a very well-known case, but in particular, it's a new docu-thriller by Michael Wellborn. You can catch the trailer on Cinema's... Oh, it's hard to read right now. I thought it said Cinema Lice, but that sounds gross. Cinema's... Oh, no.
So right,
Cinema Slice. Oh,
cinema lies. I love you guys, and this has been so much fun, but that is a really, really boring... That would be a really dull film, surely. like a 40-minute train chase where he's wearing a cap.
Yeah.
It's like the biggest highlight. Don't go to cinema lice.
We've got another letter.
But now in 3D.
Guys, that was good work. It's a cold case, but I think we brought it down to a couple of sad 10-year-old boys. So that's great.
Exposed. Well done, everyone.
Drunk women solving crime.
So now we've reached the point where we need to solve a listener crime. So we've got one from Chris. Chris says, someone at work left an anonymous post-it note on my milk saying they'd accidentally, in quotes, used it. And that they would replace it, but a week later, they still haven't. My problem is that if I raise the issue now, I seem like the bell end, which I suspect was their plan all along. What should I do?
Okay.
Well, I was just going to say that I think Chris needs to learn to trust people a bit more, because I'm not sure that somebody accidentally uses your milk in order to, well, maybe in a week or two's time, make you look like a bit of a bell end. Like,
yeah, I don't know. I think, Chris, you've come to the right place.
You have.
We can definitely help you with this. I want to know, and obviously we can't have a back and forth with Chris. It's not going to work like that. But I really want to know how much milk was taken, because it was just a little bit for a cup of tea. Like, seriously, who gives a shit? But if it was like a full on pint, then, you know, that's serious business.
I think if also what his intention is, he wants us to help him find out who's done it, that's different to if he wants us to help him get more milk. If you want to find out who's done it, my advice is that what you do is you buy loads and loads and loads and loads of milk, and you fill up the fridge with it, and you leave a post-it saying someone's been stealing my milk, help yourself, and you just look at whoever looks really, really guilty when they open the
fridge. That's good.
And it will be them.
Ooh, and also along those lines, or you could be like, somebody here took my milk and they left me a really nice note saying that they were sorry. I just want to say, whoever it is, honestly, no hard feelings.
Don't worry about it.
You just tell me who it is. I've got some cakes for the person that took it, just to show I'm not annoyed. Be brave, be honest.
And then when they tell you, you punch them in the face. Oh, Chris.
Poor Chris. Yeah, obviously the way of stopping it happening again is to just use a milk alternative, because no one will steal that. Almond milk now, Chris. Yeah, that's in there.
Almond milk might actually be poisonous, though.
Oh, good point.
Oh, yeah, it's not, but it's really bad for the water, isn't it?
Oh, they use so loads of water. Yeah, guys, don't use almond milk. Go for hazelnut or even, rice.
Coconut.
Or soya. Just have black tea.
Get a bit of lemon.
I've got the solution for you, Chris, if you've been listening. What you do is you get the biggest jug of milk you can. You put another post-it note and you say, everyone is welcome to use this, but I may have put cyanide in it. Signed, the monster with 21 faces.
Oh, yeah.
I would like to thank Helen Monk so much for being here. You're amazing.
Thanks for the free beer.
Thank you for your amazing insight. We've been Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Yay! We are pretty great.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and on Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. Also, if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then please write it in that review and we'll solve it. Thank you so much to Acast for hosting us, and thank you for listening.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.